welcome to the show. This is the Cult of Conspiracy, and my name's Jonathan.
I'm Jacob.
And today we have Jim Gale of foodforestabundance.com. I mean, everything that you say on almost every podcast that I listen to is just so mind-bending. And you know, you think, oh, I heard this before. There's no reason to tune in. But you come with the energy, dude, and that's just so – I love that. You know what I'm saying? And so and how could you not? Look at everything that you're doing. So could you please, I mean, give everybody, all of our cult members, an idea about what it is you actually do.
I love it. Well, Jonathan, Jacob, thank you so much for having me on. I'm very inspired to share this message of peace and hope and love and joy and solutions with the world, as many people as possible. And it's going absolutely viral. So again, thank you for having me on. We help people grow food. It's very simple. We help people grow food the easy way, mimicking natural systems. The science is called permaculture, which was developed generations ago by Bill Mollison and David Holmgren and then Jeff Lawton, and many, many thousands and now millions of people around the world have demonstrated how easy it is to be decentralized, to be self-reliant, and to grow food, not like a traditional farmer, the way you see it nowadays with the monocultures of thousands of acres of poison producing land, but actually regeneratively and sustainably. And so that's what my message is for the world. And yeah, it's really exciting what's happening.
That's awesome, man.
Man, I love that stuff. You know, it's because, you know, we got so deep into this reality that all the big corporations basically built for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of taken over. You know, you got inflation, the gas prices are insane, the food is toxic, the water we drink, I mean, who knows if we can trust it anymore.
Right.
And so here you are, you're kind of just breaking through that threshold. And you're saying, look, you can do it all on your own. You know, like you can, you know, farm your own plants and, you know, and just do it all on your own. I love that, that off the grid type mentality.
Oh, yeah.
You know? If you go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
Okay. If you say, or if somebody says, like I used to, I've got a brown thumb, I've got a black thumb, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the knowledge. All of those are programs that have been intentionally instilled into your freaking brain. And so you don't want to be programmed, right? So let that shit go. It's all bullshit. It's BS. It's bad science. It's absolutely ridiculous. Growing food, we don't ever have to grow food, by the way. Food is grown by nature. All we have to do is plant it correctly, mimicking these natural systems. So when you put a food forest together, in fact, this is so relevant right now. There's one thing stronger than all of the armies of the world, said Victor Hugo. And that is an idea whose time has come.
Yep.
Now that statement implies that the idea already exists. And now it's time for that idea. Well, my friends, the idea is the abundance of the Garden of Eden. And it is not a utopian fantasy. It's the next logical step for humanity. It's bringing back, it's taking the poisons and the poison producers out of our system and bringing back logic and love and joy and abundance everywhere.
Well said. Well said. I love that. You know, and what do you say? I mean, surely there's a bunch of people living up in tall apartment buildings or, you know, living out in a place that they can't grow their own stuff. Is there any alternatives to that?
Yes, absolutely. So we actually have an indoor design service as well as the food forest service using the permaculture outdoor principles. It's all about soil. So if you're indoors, then if you can do some compost, great. If you can't, and I understand indoors is a little tougher to do compost, then just buy a couple bags of good soil, some mushroom compost, some stuff, and you can easily grow food indoors. In fact, you should start right now because the food supply chain is being systematically dismantled on a global level. And it's time right now to store up, to store food, at least like 4 to 5 months worth, and seeds. Because as soon as the shit hits the fan, you want to start growing as much as you can, as much as you need, while you're consuming your stored food. So it's very easy to grow food indoors. Thank you to the cannabis revolution who has taught us how.
My people. No doubt. That's my people
no
right
doubt.
There.
Like, think about it. Who is the one that pioneered how to grow plants successfully with UV lights indoors or hydroponics?
Yeah.
That would be the marijuana industry.
Yes.
So,
and look how big of a market is. Look how many people moved out to Colorado. It was the first state to legalize it.
Yep.
Everybody wanted to learn how to grow stuff, and you know, and maybe it was just a new fad and everything, but dude, growing something on your own, it doesn't have to be something illegal, but just being able to grow something on your own and then being able to eat it. Yeah. I mean, dude, that is a great feeling, you know?
And it's incredible. And it's a great feeling. It tastes so much better. And by the way, a plant that's vine ripened is going to be better tasting, better smelling. It's going to look better, and it's going to be more nutrient dense than a plant that was picked 2 or 3 weeks before it's ready. So it's like the ultimate stack of functionality to grow food. And also, and this is one that a lot of people miss, working in a food forest, there's almost no such thing as work in a food forest unless you're doing a market food forest, unless you're doing it for a business. But everybody I know who has a food forest, they never worked a day in their life. They want to be in their food forest. They'll go out and just sit and look around, and they'll see a plant growing that they don't really understand or know, and they'll pick it and they'll call it a weed. It's not a weed, but they'll call it a weed. That's fine. Get rid of that. That's the experience of having a food forest. It raises your vibration. It raises your resonance. Like Tesla said, if you want to change the world, energy, frequency, and vibration. A food forest will literally raise your vibration.
I think it's funny that you mentioned a weed. Like, for instance, wild cabbage, okay, is a very naturally growing weed. Did you know that 80 years ago, that was used as a natural pain relief?
Mm.
And it grows everywhere. Like, you, without meaning to, you'll grow a patch of wild cabbage. You break it apart, you squeeze out the white juice from it, and that is an actual natural remedy instead of Tylenol.
Yep, it's fantastic.
Your body is actually made to endure and made to actually process. It's insane what the knowledge that we no longer have because it's no longer been taught to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I would say that that's probably on purpose. You know, you look at these big corporations, big pharma, big oil, big, just any corporations in general, it's in their best interest to not promote those kind of grand ideas, you know, but, you know, here, buy a bottle of Tylenol, buy a bottle of Aleve, and it's not really helping you. It's just masking it.
It's actually poison. That's actually poison that your kidneys can't process. That's why it's possible to OD on aspirin, but you cannot OD on wild cabbage.
Exactly. It is all by design. It is all part of the separation, which I've been putting the pieces of the puzzle of this together for about 14 years. And then now it's the great awakening, the apocalypse, the unmasking, the lifting the veil, the age of Aquarius, the age of enlightenment. It's all freaking happening right now. And we get to usher in the new world by raising our vibrations and living, jumping out of fear. Right. I went through all these different processes. In fact, plant medicines, ayahuasca and psilocybin. Without ayahuasca, I would not have a wife right now, at least not the same one. And and on the flip side, we've never been better. Like our relationship is incredible. We just had I'm 52, just had a baby a couple of years ago. Like we're kicking ass. Yeah.
52 and still had a baby.
Yeah, man. It's bro. They were kicking ass, you guys. And thanks to the plant medicines, which of course were made illegal by the govern, which means to manage or control, and mente, which means mind. So all of these things are coming apart right now, and we're starting to see through the illusion of mind control.
No doubt.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Rome eventually has to fall. You know what I'm saying? Like it all eventually has to come down. Troy, Rome, all the great civilizations who took advantage of all the control they all had, and they all look like these big, nasty, ugly, you know, unforgiving monsters that nobody could ever defeat.
Yeah.
And eventually they all come tumbling down.
But that's the deal. When the kingdom falls, right?
Yeah.
Who is the one that actually suffers the most will be the peasants, the fiefs, the serfdoms, the ones at the lower rung of society, which would be the working man.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. So if the working man cannot feed himself or feed his family, what else do we have? We have to, at that point, rely on the government for aid. So I want to thank you for doing what you're doing to teach the people how to feed themselves and their families. So thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jacob, and thank you for spreading the word about this. I mean, this is the idea whose time has come. I am excited to plead or to share different ways of saying the same thing. The same thing is, it's up to us. It's up to me and you as individuals, as anarchists, which simply means no ruler. I'm going to be the authority of my own freaking life. I don't need an author tell me what to do, an authority. I want to author my own story. Right. And in fact, we just started a book 2 days ago. Magic is happening, by the way. As soon as I finally lost everything and let go of the fear of losing more, which is a really interesting psychological thing, right? You're trying to hold on to what you got, you're really screwed. It's when you open up and you work on creating and manifesting forward that magic happens. And in the last year, it's been beyond magic. Like the stuff that's happening around the world, the people that are coming. I've got meetings with 4 movie stars at the end of the month. All of them want Food Force, and we're doing TV shows and books and songs that are being written about it. It's really cool.
That's incredible.
When you say you're helping, you know, with the Food Force and everything, like how are you setting other people up? Like what's the, like, how does it all work?
What's the quote unquote gimmick behind it?
Yeah, the scheme, the schematic, right? Blueprint. We actually call it a food forest blueprint. And we've dialed it in to the lowest common denominator. There's 40 to 50 million acres of lawn in the United States. Lawns are the biggest mass brainwashing scam of all time that have led to the food supply chain disaster that we are facing now. The lawn it takes more poisons than any other crop and more human resources, and it does not provide food. It's a biological desert, right? When you take a square meter of lawn and you go, or a cubic meter, right? Because you got to go up, you're talking about 2 inches of one type of life for the most part. When you take a natural system, you'll have 100 times or 1,000 times more biology in that same area. So who were against is the purveyors of death. It's an unsustainable system. That's why these systems always fail. And Thomas Jefferson said the tree of liberty must be nourished from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants, for that is its natural manure. And that implies or talks to this ebb and flow where humans get so lazy and so controllable after generations, the generations that fight for their freedom, earn their freedom, and then 3 generations later, they don't know what that means, and they're lazy as shit. 4 or 5 generations later, they're slaves again. And then they break free again. And this is the natural ebb and flow of humanity.
Yep. I've heard it said before, good times create weak men. Weak men create bad times. Bad men, bad times create strong men. Strong men create good times. And
it's a never-ending cycle. Yeah.
No doubt.
I love that. I haven't heard that. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
True.
And it all comes back around, you know, and I think just like how you were saying, I mean, we kind of are on the rebound, you know, because we did get a little weak. We did get a little fat. We did get a little lazy. You know, we let other people think for us and tell us what to do and tell us what not to think. And, you know, don't look at the media. Look at the media. Believe in red. Believe in blue. I mean, disregard our microphone colors. But
it's not even we as in the Americans. We're saying we as in Western first world countries. You know what I mean? The same thing you're teaching to the world right now is not just for bumfuck nowhere, Minnesota. It's also for Paris. It's also for the random streets of Italy. It's for everywhere.
It's the global solution. All the deserts around the world, this literally, the reason a lot of places are deserts, like the pyramids of Egypt, that used to be a food forest. Like they used to be thriving, but they started killing and destroying and controlling. And the warlords would come into a new community and they would kill the farmers, take over the farms. They would eat what was there and then they'd let it go fallow or whatever, right? And the whole process is starting to come to light again. And this is a global solution that creates sustainable systems, right? And this whole word about sustainable has been overplayed by the criminals, right? But if you would look at it from a very logical perspective, a system that is sustainable creates more energy than it takes to create and maintain, right? So it's a very simple thing. And when you take the sun's energy and you add that to it, that's like cheating. Like it's so ridiculously easy to have food growing everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And you were talking about, you know, how, you know, the front yards and the backyards and everything. And that I remember growing up whenever we were in school and they always talked about, you know, oh, way back in the day, you know, people, if somebody was just mowing their lawn, they were seen as like the way higher ups, like they were taking it. They were just like, you know, they were just They didn't need to use their yard to be able to get ahead in life. Whereas everybody else, such as the peasants and, you know, the people that were right. maybe even the middle class, they took advantage of all that yard and all that soil and everything to be able to grow their own food. And kind of here we are again, just like how you're saying, if all of us really just took advantage of just our yards in general, I mean, we would probably be a lot healthier. We'd be a lot happier. I mean, we would be, I mean, they say the gut brain biome. I mean, that's what makes our brain tick. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I know whenever I get done eating some Chinese food, I just want to commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's just not even worth living. You know,
bro, I read a book a while back. I think it was called Living Off Your Back 40 or something along those lines. And basically it was teaching people how, like, with a basic backyard, you could live. One of the things that blew my mind was growing potatoes with a stack of tires, right? With a 2-foot by 2-foot square of ground. You plant potatoes, you grow up, you put another tile on top, you put soil, it grows up, tire, soil. You go all the way up to 10 tires high, you knock it over. You have potatoes for months. Yeah, the sustainable crazy. Resource, that is something that you could continually do. That was one thing, not to mention tomatoes, not to mention any kind of vegetation that doesn't really require a mass field like we've been told our whole lives.
I'm pretty sure you can actually live off of potatoes too, if I'm not mistaken.
The Irish potato famine has taught us anything is that starch alone is enough to sustain.
Right.
You nailed it. In fact, I'd like to spend a couple seconds more on potatoes, sweet potatoes and regular potatoes. Sweet potatoes aren't actually potatoes, but you can eat the leaves, you can eat the stems, you can eat the tuber and potatoes. Those are the two plants that are going to save millions of people. Right now, everybody should have a big bag of potatoes because you can 10X that bag in like 9 to 10 months. You can literally put those in the ground and have 10 times more 10 months later. Like nature did all that. So all you got to do is put them in a little bit of hay, a little bit of dirt, and let nature do its thing. And that's what we do. So we design, we've got 21 permaculture professional food forest designers. Our designers will take a look at all the details, and our target market is the suburban backyard. It's the lowest hanging fruit. It's zone one of our community. It's right out there. And we transition 30, 40, 50% of the lawn into a perennial edible landscape. And we put in the pollinator attractors, the beneficial insect attractors, nitrogen fixers. And then we create these guilds or communities of plants that literally serve each other.
Yep.
And all the questions that people have, will it bring in the spiders or whatever? Well, spiders kill 6 people a year out of 330 million. Cancer kills millions.
But right? They how many insects a year?
500 million metric tons spiders take up.
Ow. Dude, the Native Americans, this was the craziest shit ever heard. It was called the Three Sisters. Uh-huh. Okay. It was corn, squash, and beans, or I think it was green beans. All growing off each other, basically one fed off another, and you would harvest them all at the same time and have a fucking feast.
Mm.
It was insane how the Native Americans, through trial and error, learned what works best in our soil.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy, exactly right. And, you know, I love hearing about all the old historic people, how they had it all figured out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They all had it all figured out. And then, you know, here comes big bad America, and we just want to, you know, turn everybody into soy boys, basically.
Basically, the Western world.
Right. And it's not China, it's not America, it's the globalists who run the whole show above any of these governments, right? Mm-hmm. And that's starting to come out very clearly now, that there are people. In fact, it was 400 years ago when Rothschild said, I'm going to send my kids across all corners of the earth, and we're going to control the world's currency. Yep. 200 years later, Mayor Rothschild was in England. He said, I care not which puppet sits on the throne of England when I control its currency. 200 years after that, here we are, and the currency is controlled on a global basis.
And yeah, indeed. I think there's only 5 national banks that are not tied to the Rothschilds, and we're at war with 3 of them.
There were 7, and we took the other 2 out.
Yeah. Gaddafi, he's gone. That was one of them.
Hussein.
Hussein was another one. Yep. Gone.
Jim, you sound like, I mean, an actual conspiracy theorist. I mean, you talk to anybody these days, what you're saying is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, but in, you know,
it's
to people like us,
it's true.
This is common sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so easy to see, you know, everybody is so easily manipulated and, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, you say any kind of conspiracy and instantly people roll their eyes and look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah. You know? But you throw a conspiracy out to the food we're putting in our bodies. Mm. You know what I mean? Now that hits home no matter what demographic you fall into.
Definitely, dude.
You know what I mean? Talk about hope. The chicken breast you just bought from Walmart, by the way, you just pumped your body full of steroids and antibiotics that was never meant to be in your body.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? Well, it's like, well, read a book.
Yeah, look at all the people that that took a hamburger and they put it in a little container and then it lasted literally, it looked the same exact way a year from that date.
Oh, I just talked to my daughter about that exact study. It's phenomenal what has been shown, right? And yet here we are still consuming these radical poisons and watching society just fall apart.
I tell people to read The Jungle.
Yeah.
That was based in the 30s, but it's still happening today.
Yeah.
And have you ever read that book?
No.
It will turn you vegan.
Really?
No,
people are vegan.
Actually, it won't, because it's all about how the peas were actually sprinkled with iron oxide to make them green. The meat was sprinkled with iron oxide to make it red. The peas were sprinkled with copper oxide to turn them green. They would try to sell them in Europe. They couldn't, so they brought them back. They were pale and rotten. They sprinkled them with these chemicals to resell them to Americans, and that's still going on today. Look at what meat glue is.
Yeah, of course they do. You know, there was a guy that I was listening to, and he was talking about, he goes, look how many McDonald's there are in the world. Look how many Burger Kings and Wendy's. Oh, and he goes, you know, even McDonald's proudly puts on their sign, billions served around the world. He goes, there ain't enough cows in the world for that.
Exactly.
All that, like, and it makes sense, dude. You understand that it really all is just a bunch of meat fillers. But you know what? You can stay away from all that. You can stay away from all these cancerous type things if you just listen to Jim Gale. Jim, you know what the hell you're talking about, man. And I mean, it just makes me so excited. It makes me want to, you know, buy a plant and start working on it. I mean, what kind of plants do you suggest that people start on? Like the easy ones, you know what I mean?
You know, I would start with fruit trees and berry bushes.
Berry bushes grow pretty much everywhere.
Yes.
Depending on where you're at in the world. Like, for instance, in Louisiana, citrus trees don't really take too well. So we have to do what's called splicing, right? So we put the root ball of something that grows here, splice it with a citrus tree, and then it grows very well here.
Yeah.
But you're right. Fruit trees and berry bushes grow very well in pretty much any climate if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And if you plant a little guild where you have a few things, kind of like the three sisters analogy, and you plant them together, you can literally just leave it there and you can come back 30 years later and you've just got a big fruit tree or a whole bunch of berries.
Yeah.
You know, like fences, every fence in the world is a trellis. It could be a food fence, grapes everywhere with no maintenance. It's just, it's an asset that's just begging to be made green and it'll look more beautiful. It'll be habitat and it'll be free food.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so simple, dude. It's so simple. Yet, you know, everybody just keeps on wanting to cut their grass. And that's just, you know, I feel like a lot of people and a lot of ways of thinking are very traditional. We want to do what our parents did, what our grandparents did.
And my parents are very green. We grew things our entire life. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, being down in Louisiana, it's a little different.
I grew up with massive blackberry bushes and like three fig trees and a satsuma tree in my backyard. That was the way we grew up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got a little different than most. My parents also are the type that will go half in on a whole cow or half in on a whole pig from the farmer itself. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's how we've done business since I was itty bitty.
Yeah.
But that's expensive. And not everybody has that ability to go and half in on a whole Angus beef cow.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, as you say, why is it expensive? That's the scam, right? It absolutely should be the least expensive way because it's the natural way. It's the local way. It's the way that takes out the transport system, which is insane. 1,500 miles is the average farm to table in the United States when it could be 150 feet.
Right?
And, you know, in fact, I'd like to share this idea of radical abundance that I'm talking about is when over time, as we destroy our own business model by planting food forests everywhere, which, by the way, is our goal. Our goal is to put ourselves out of business in 20 years. and to turn that energy, which is the money, the stored value of society, as it comes in, and we've had millions come in 6 months of energy transfer, and we put it back. We're building these food forests in public areas, at food banks, at churches, at schools, and on us, because it's also marketing, right? Yeah. And then that turns into more and turns into more. So a bad idea just radically changed the world in the last 2 years. What's going to happen when the world gets a hold of a good idea?
That's the thing. It's not even that radical of an idea. It's using the land you have to sustain your life. That's not even that crazy of an idea when you break it down to the simplest form.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even just a basic suburban backyard to be able to be used, even if, okay, fine, you may not be able to sustain yourself for an entire year off of what you can grow. Fine, I get it. You only have so much square footage of yard. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But even still, financially, being able to grow your own crops, health-wise, being able to grow your own crops, it just makes sense.
Yes, it makes sense.
Now, granted, like, for instance, people who can't afford to go in half on a whole cow, that's an expensive upfront cost. Yeah. When you go across the entire year, you just supplied yourself for a year's worth of beef, right? Mm. But not everybody can afford a deep freeze. Not everybody can afford to go in for the initial cost on that. And I get that. I do. But when you work out the money of what you would have spent versus what you are spending on that, it equates to where you're saving so much money, time, and you're healthier in the long run.
You nailed it. It's a stack of functions. Your life is better in every way. And I actually got so off track with that last thing, is this idea of Garden of Eden everywhere, right? Is when all of a sudden it becomes natural deer and moose and elk and all the different herbivores and all the different animals. You don't have to raise cattle in that environment. You've got turkeys and pheasants and fish everywhere. You don't have to fence them in. You just have abundance everywhere. And you just, if you want some meat, you go harvest a deer, you go harvest a whatever it is you want, just right there.
Right. Now that's the other thing too. Society these days has dictated that hunting is cruel and inhumane and wrong, even though that's the very basis of human existence from the caveman on to now.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, you splice it, we are meant to ingest meat.
Well, they would just rather us, you know, ingest all the soybeans that they're tearing down the Amazon rainforest for.
Which the human body was not meant to ingest processed soy products.
Right.
Exactly.
It's horrible for our kidneys. It's horrible for our livers. That's why we have cancer out the ass, figuratively and literally, these days.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But yeah.
Man. And the poisons.
There's so many pesticides that are sprayed on everything these days.
Oh, let's not get started on the chemtrails, dude.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
that one bothers me.
Oh God. Yeah,
the whole episode we could do on the chemtrails.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, surely, you know, all about that there, Jim. I mean, you're talking about, you know, growing your own things. I would say the chemtrails is probably, you know, the number one dire reason why we don't have so much, you know, farmland and it probably affects so much soil and everything. And right.
That's the one thing that I can't directly affect. I mean, there it is, falling down with the aluminum oxide and nitrates and whatever, all the shit that they put in there, right? And they've shown it crystal clear. The Dimming, which is a great show, really lays it out. I'm not sure if you've seen that one. It's called The Dimming. No. Oh, check that shit out. That'll blow your mind. Yeah. It's about chemtrails.
No, but where is this? On Netflix?
It wouldn't be on Netflix. It'd be on BitChute or Odyssey or one of those.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's where we're talking about going over to eventually anyway.
Yeah, we are like one strike away from getting kicked off of YouTube. So BitChute and Rumble is looking real good these days.
Yeah.
Rumble's great. I'm booted off YouTube. I can't upload anything anymore. I've got my third strike, so.
Oh, well, you found the back door here.
That's the thing, man. Like, honestly, if we get kicked off of YouTube, that tells me we're doing our job.
Exactly.
Yeah. Honestly, like,
that's a badge of honor. Like, oh yeah, the silver play button. Yo, I got kicked off a year in. What's up?
Yeah,
we're like the new OGs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, speaking truth.
No doubt.
Yeah, dude. So now, I mean, have you heard? I mean, you're into a lot of the conspiracies. You seem like you kind of be you're kind of, you know, understanding of a lot of this. Have you heard about Bill Gates buying up all the farmland and stuff like that? I mean, what's that about, do you think?
Well, I know that his whole thing is about control and about turning everybody into kind of a computer. He's a computer programmer, and how deep it goes from there with his patent 2026-66 and the The trace bill, which happened to be 6666 also, and the luciferase and all that. This is freaking mind-blowing shit, right? You don't just put that stuff together.
It's blatant. He named it Lucifer, for fuck's sake.
Luciferase.
Yeah. Right. I mean, crazy, go on now. Dude.
It's the light bearer. That's why.
Oh, right. Bill Gates is all about that population control, too.
What?
Bill Gates is all about population control. He's all about trying to get the world down to, what is it, 500?
Oh, well, you know,
500,000.
That was the Georgia Guidestones. He had a TEDx talk not too long ago talking about, you know, if we do a real good job in the hospitals and with vaccines, you know, we can reduce the population to about 10 to 12%. Yeah. What? How did nobody just jump all over him whenever he said that?
It was mind-blowing. People, and like nobody batted an eye. They're like, oh, Bill Gates.
Yeah. Exactly. And his dad worked with Margaret Sanger, and they created, and he was on the board of Planned Parenthood, and he volunteered to take out 50 million babies in utero. He volunteered to do that job. You don't just do that job because you want to help support mothers who don't have time to have babies. No. That's not his reasons. And his reasons are very outspoken, right? And so are Billy G's. So what is the solution to that? All that insanity, that literally biblical insanity. The solution is the Garden of Eden. The solution on every level is just to grow food and raise. There's two different ideals. One is metaphysical, and that's enlightenment, right? The other one is physical, and that's the Garden of Eden. And both of these things are the solutions to what's going on right now.
No doubt.
Yeah, dude. I'm into like a bunch of the Hindu, Indian type stuff. I really love learning about all that kind of stuff. And they're all real big on meditation and grounding and eating clean. And
I was about to say, look at what they're eating though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Look at Sikh, which is a subreddit, so to speak, of Hinduism. They're all about providing vegetarian meals at least once a day. Any Sikh temple has meals for anybody at any time to come eat.
It's so crazy, man.
And it's usually homegrown items.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, Jim, is there, I know you said sweet potatoes earlier. Is there any other vegetables that you're really into, looking at growing that provide just a mass amount of abundance?
Best bang for your buck nutrition-wise, best lamb-wise.
Yeah. So my favorite thing is the perennial edible landscape, and a lot of people don't know the difference between annuals and perennials. Annuals, like the vegetables we're talking about, you plant the seed, you harvest the crop. Maybe you can harvest a lot, right? Like a one cucumber seed, you can harvest dozens of cucumbers or hundreds maybe. Perennials are plants that you plant once, like a fruit tree or a berry bush, that will last for generations often. In fact, there's an olive tree on the Greek Isle of Crete that has been producing olives for 2,000 years.
Yes, I've seen pictures of this tree. It is a huge bucket list item to eat an olive off this tree.
2,000 years?
Yo, off the island of Crete, bro.
That's bad.
The tree has been alive longer than Jesus.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's what nature can provide if we just get out of mind control and just start doing this stuff. And that's what's happening.
Land as it was intended to be cultivated.
Absolutely.
And there's so many, there's so many plants out there that are easy to grow, I'm not somebody who is super into, I don't have property or anything. I'm kind of on a lot over here, so I don't own the land. But I have a couple of plants and they're doing just fine. But there was one time I kind of wanted to bring this story up. The one time I did try to grow something, I was growing a little bit of marijuana.
No doubt.
But I was actually living at my parents' house I was like a teenager. And I bought this poinsettia plant, like one of those Christmas plants.
Yeah.
And I put it in the windowsill. My mom comes in there one day, or maybe my dad, and he's like, what do you have a plant for? Like, I'm not somebody that has plants or anything like that. And I was like, oh, I'm just trying to get in the Christmas spirit. But, that's where I planted the weed at. And it was growing up. It was growing like beautifully. I just had it in sunlight and a little bit of water, and it was growing. And whenever they found out what it was, I just blamed it on my brother and they believed me.
That's classic.
Right.
But at the same time, growing some people say like, oh, you have a green thumb, I have a black thumb. Like everything I touch dies. That's generally because of lack of knowledge. Mm. You know what I mean? It really takes very minimal effort to grow a plant successfully. It takes the correct soil. correct water, correct sunlight, and let nature do its thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very simple once you get the knowledge.
Yeah, man. And this is all great stuff because, I mean, we see what's going on. We see that, yeah. I mean, it's a matter of when, not if there's going to be a food shortage. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of somebody like, I love looking into dreams and stuff like that. Like,
look at the COVID. The toilet paper shortage that happened. That was toilet paper, which is not that much of a commodity, but yeah. People think it is.
I legit, dude, I had a dream just last night, dude. It was so crazy that I remember I walked into Walmart and I literally just saw nothing but empty shelves. And I was like, holy shit, it's here. And I kind of feel like, dude, we're not that far from that. You know what I'm saying?
We are one catastrophe away from being there.
It's so crazy. And you see all the truckers that are, you know, quitting their jobs because they don't want to take the thing. And, you know, all the airline pilots are quitting their jobs because they don't want to take the thing. All the nurses are quitting their jobs. So it's going to come crashing down. And, you know, what's really funny is that I see, you know, Joe Biden, he was talking about like, oh, well, look, just in the span of 3 months, ever since I made the mandate that everybody over 100 employees, you know, has to get vaccinated, just in 3 months, look, it was 60% of the employees that were vaccinated. Now it's 99%. And it's like, no, you idiot. It's not because everybody got vaccinated. It's because you fired everybody.
Right.
It's so crazy, dude.
Yeah, it really is. It's almost humorous when you look at it from this kind of weird perspective. How controllable some of these people are now. And this is important for me. This is where it really helped me see that. I mean, there's insane suffering all around the world. Right. There's kids that are suffering and that kind of stuff. You know, if you focus on it, it can make me cry. And I have cried, but I realized a while back that there's no amount of suffering or pain or rage or shame that I can feel that can help anybody do anything. So my first most important thing is to raise myself up through meditation, through breathing, through forgiveness, through thankfulness, and through focusing forward on something beautiful. And when I can demonstrate to the world how fucking great life is, when we focus forward with freedom and confidence and love and joy, then that lifts people up. So the more we all do that, the better we all are, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's so simple, dude. It's so simple. And so now you said that you have so many people that are helping with these food forests, you know, really across the country or is it in several countries?
So when we launched on Earth Day almost 6 months ago, we are now in 15 countries and 40 states. We just opened up New Zealand and Australia. And there, I'll tell you one magic story that's still so epic to me. Did I tell you about the producer of The Crocodile Hunter calling me?
No.
Okay. So I don't watch TV much, but I've had my favorite shows. I've probably had five favorite shows. Like I used to watch The Sopranos and then I noticed I was thinking all fucking crazy and I turned that shit off because that shit goes into your mind. Like everything we ingest becomes part of our psychology to some degree, right?
And we will regurgitate what we've been told, absolutely.
Yeah, it makes us think different. So anyway, The Crocodile Hunter was my favorite show for years. And the producer of my favorite show calls me up and said, Jim, we just saw you. We want to basically shine a light on you for the world on your solutions. Right. And I'm like, yep, let's do it instantly because this is my intention. This is kind of strategic, is getting out to Dell, writing a speech for him reading it, being on the air. And then 2 days after that, my number one TV show for like 6 years in a row back 15 years ago, the main star of that show calls me up and says, Jim, I want to talk to you about doing a food forest. We put the two together and we just finished a pilot in Texas that is going to change the freaking world. It is the most epic food forest. We had 31 people come from 15 different states. And for the first time, they never met each other and they'd never done a job like this before. There was not one argument in 5 days.
Wow.
That's hard to come by.
It was hard to come by. And we just built this epic food forest that has a Chinese medicine wheel theme in one part, because the gal is a, that's her thing. She's a Chinese herbalist practitioner. Then we built a vineyard that can do 300 bottles of wine a year. Then we built a massive diverse food forest, and then a Mexican cantina food forest, all in one, and with several $125,000 cameras with the best producers around.
Wow, that's that incredible. Sounds amazing. And
what so part of Texas is that, by the way?
It was near Austin.
Okay. Yeah.
So this was you guys just shot the pilot. What's the name of the show going to be?
I'm not sure if I can say it on, because they're still doing a bunch of like behind the scenes stuff, sure. But it'll be very much about abundance everywhere. And then after we're off air, I can tell you guys a couple more details.
No doubt. Awesome. Yeah.
But
man, just, that sounds great. Look at all the good work that you're doing, and yes. You have all these people reaching out to you, and they're so interested, and they're going to make a freaking show on it. That's how you know you're on to something.
Yes. And one of the things, as a person who's been really joyfully obsessed with the question, how can we scale this idea and literally change the world? Because there's this quote by Napoleon Hill, if you can conceive it and believe it, then you can achieve it. In the Bible, I believe it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And all throughout history, the law of attraction is so powerful. So I started asking questions. Can I believe that I can affect on a global scale? And I said, absolutely, I do. So then I started building that foundation, and we've created a business model called a food forest cooperative. So our job is to create the foundation for people, the marketing details and all of the business support details, and then which then makes it very easy for people on the ground to install food forests, even if they've got no experience. We create the blueprint, which is very detailed document. We hand it to them, and they're able to go in and install a food forest. And it's incredibly profitable. It's just like landscaping with a 40% profit margin. So an average food forest is $15,000. You're going to make $6,000 in a week.
Wow.
That's incredible.
I'd take that job in a heartbeat.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds awesome, dude. So, I mean, if somebody is interested in helping you out with that, or maybe interested in going into business with you, I mean, what do they do? What do they have to do?
Yeah.
That's
where do they find you? What do they do?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what our foundation, our job at corporate is to serve the cooperative. The cooperative's job is to serve the customer, right? And so they just get a hold of me at foodforestabundance.com, and we'll lay everything out. And this is really relevant. So I started with this idea of the question, what's the best way to scale a business model globally? Well, franchise, or, you know, franchise is kind of the most known way, right? And so I actually went down, spent $250,000 putting these franchise documents in place, 244 pages of FDD, 89 pages of operations manual. And I'm holding this shit, and I was sick to my stomach. I threw the whole pile of shit in the trash because it represents everything that I'm against.
Right.
It's the control grid. We now have a 2-page contract that is based purely on the voluntary exchange of value. We have no NDAs, no non-competes, no patents. We are about changing the world as our top aligned priority, and we have to make money while we're doing it. And then we turn the money, instead of like these corporations that are storing hundreds of billions of dollars, like Apple, right? If they took $1 billion and did a marketing campaign for what I'm talking about, they would change the world radically in 1 year.
No doubt.
That's just so crazy, man. And you know, it's crazy because, you know, we buy these phones and we buy these computers and we buy these TVs and everything. Meanwhile, it's all being produced by little slaves over in China and, you know, sweatshops and stuff. And it's just like, you know, this kind of thing, here you go. I mean, you can make somebody healthy. You know, you can help people live off of this stuff and not be forced to eat fast food and get a McDouble just because it's the cheapest thing that you can get. I mean, the cheapest thing you can do is make a food forest. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, especially, you know, once you get all the plants and everything, it's just basically keeping up with it, you know?
What I'm worried about is the fact that not necessarily our generation, but the world as a whole is lazy. and they don't want to put in the work. They don't want to baby a plant. They don't want to grow anything from day one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do things the right way, it's pretty self-sustaining. You don't have to, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's also, if you find what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
That you just said a mouthful of stuff. You nailed it. My job and our job is to break through the barriers of belief systems that are absolutely destroying individuals and our whole society. And this idea of convenience. So I'm going through Africa. I've actually lived with the Maasai tribe for a while in Africa. I shaved my head and stuff. And I was on a bus ride from like, anyway, long bus ride.
Where's that tribe based out of? What country in Africa?
Kenya.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
At Tanzania. I think the Maasai was right on the other side in Tanzania. And so I'm going through this bus ride and I just had this look on my face, like, when the hell are we going to get there? And everybody else on the bus, there's literally goats and chickens on the bus and there's people in the aisles and I had a good seat. And I noticed that none of them were pissed off like I was. They were just along for the ride. And somebody came up to me, this other traveler, and he said, you know what Americans hate most? Inconvenience.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, you're so right. So I started playing around with this idea of convenience, right? Is it convenient to go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac and a fries and a shake or whatever, right? Well, okay, when you actually step back from that, it's the least convenient thing you could ever do.
Yeah.
It's going to take your energy instead of giving you energy. It's going to make your day shorter instead of longer. And it's going to make your life shorter instead of longer.
Yeah.
Wow. Great point.
That it's is all about perspective.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And you know, it's just so easy. If we can just get back to what we're supposed to be doing, you know what I'm saying? It's just that simple. It's such common sense. And, you know, we got little convenience stores and we got convenient fast food places and we got convenient this and convenient that. Most people don't even cook a home cooked meal anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you know, and there's something beautiful to a home cooked meal, you know, like think about all those people, about all those people that are in McDonald's. They're pissed off. They're only making $7-$8 an hour. They're just squirting the ketchup and they don't care about what the hell happens to that patty. You get a nice, you know, somebody in the kitchen that is just cooking something with all their love and they got some music playing and they got the kids running around or whatever the case may be.
You can taste something the love, to that.
Yeah,
yes. Absolutely.
You can taste the love, man. There's no doubt about it. There's this idea of vibration and resonance and energy that pervades everything, right? Like we are literally made of some kind of energy that's held together by some magical divine force.
All matter is a series of vibrations. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's so cool. So, and then this other thought, like I want to describe, I just put a video yesterday about two different food forests I was visiting. One is one we created at Galt's Landing, where we're actually creating a completely off-grid luxury community. And every lot is going to have its own complete food forest, its own water and its own energy. And it's on a private 400-acre lake with a runway on the East Coast that we're trying to acquire. So it's going to be, and we're building a studio on the property. And then my job is going to be to demonstrate the value, the beauty, the abundance of this type of lifestyle. So anyway, in these two food forests, one of them we planted 18 months ago. We watered it twice a week for the first like 3 or 4 months. We've done literally nothing in the last 14 months or so, and it's freaking thriving.
Yeah.
And there's food, there's perennial lettuces where I can walk out anytime I want and get a lettuce, a salad made of moringa leaves and longevity spinach and Okinawa spinach and sweet potato leaves. And it'll be the best, healthiest salad that most people have never had a salad that healthy in their life.
Right. Everybody swears by iceberg lettuce, but like that's not indigenous to everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not meant to be ingested by everybody. Not to mention all the pesticides that are sprayed on everything that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
You go in your backyard, what's growing wildly is probably going to be enough to sustain. So for a while there, I got big into survivalism. Yeah. And I plan on when my kids get old enough, we're going to go on a survival trip. Mm. We're going to go in the middle of bumfuck nowhere for like 3 days because I know how to live off the land. And that's an invaluable skill because at that point, knowledge is worth more than what you carry on your back.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody swears, well, you need a gun. Okay, that's going to carry you for so far. Do you know how to make
you run
trap?
Out of bullets?
Do you know how to make a snare? Do you know how to pick out what plants you could eat? Do you know how valuable the birch tree is to human survival? You know what I mean? There's so many things that humans have lost the knowledge.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
And Jim's bringing it back.
Jim's bringing it back.
Gotta love it.
Yep. That's my duty in life to our posterity, to my four daughters. Like, that's my primary motivation. My daughters, my family, my friends, and then it extends out. But my primary, of course, is those four little girls that I want them to have the kind of childhood I had. I mean, it was just full of joy and beauty and nature. And that childhood is kind of going away, right? But we're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back big time.
Absolutely, man.
I love it. I love it. Jim, so one more time, please, you know, give out all your information. Anybody that's interested or wants to reach out.
So if you want to be in the business of helping people grow food, it's the best business in the world right now, I believe with all my being. And it's profitable. It's fun. You're meeting great people. And this is kind of relevant. There's one rule I have when I'm working with somebody. And I say, I do not do business with anybody who advocates for force and violence. And everybody says, oh, of course I don't. And then if I sense that they do, I go one step further. And I said, that means forced mandates of any kind. And then boom, one out of a dozen people. And in fact, lately, I don't even talk to anybody who does, but because they don't resonate with me, right? They're just not in my reality. But when I first started doing that, people would either yell at me and hang up. And I would say, thank you. Because I've had the experience of working with those people. They're unethical. They don't have integrity, and they will cause problems over time because they will rationalize a truth that benefits them, even if it isn't true.
Yeah.
So anyway, so if you're integrous and you get what's going on in the world to some degree, or at least you're open to it, then get a hold of us. We will gladly bring you in and support you in any way that we can. And we'll do the best we can, which is pretty darn good. And we'll help you create a business, even if it's part-time or full-time, where you're out. And think about the positioning of this, right? The food supply chain is being destroyed. I think it's certain that it's going to happen. I hope I'm freaking wrong. But what would your life be like if you were the one that had the solution for your neighbors and your community? That's what we help teach people.
Right.
God, I love that.
So you're going next step, not just a horticulturist, because that's a very broad term. You're looking more as a, I don't even know this is a word, a sustainabilityist.
Anybody who wants to be in the business of making money while doing really good work. And it's good money. Like, we've got people that have never done a garden in their life, finishing their fourth install here in the last 3 months. And they're averaging like $5,000-$6,000 profit per install. And it's, you know, it's work. It's your own business. We don't do the control thing. Everything is voluntary. So if you want to do a job, do a job. If you don't want to do a job, don't do a job. It's up to you. And that's the way we cultivate and we teach people to have complete control over their own actions. And that also means if you don't do anything, you're not going to make any money. Right?
As it should be.
As it should be.
Yes. Yeah.
If you don't work, you don't eat.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Jim, I mean, hey, man, it was a pleasure having you on. We absolutely love hearing about this kind of stuff. I mean, we're all about, I mean, our saying over here is open up that third eye. And I believe that you are, I mean, you're just knocking the crust right off that bad boy. And, you know, we just love hearing you talk about everything, man. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Please, if anybody is interested, please go check out Jim Gale and his website, foodforestabundance.com. And this was another amazingly beautiful show.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you guys rock.
Thank you.
Hey,
man.
Thank you for coming on, man. I thoroughly enjoyed this podcast.
Here we go. That was it.
Yeah.
This was another episode of The Cult of Conspiracy. My name's Jonathan.
I'm Jacob.
And this was Jim Gale. I mean, what a pleasure it was having you on, sir. And we always want to remember one very important, extremely vital piece of information. Please open up that third eye.